This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You are listening to The Morning Run with Shazana and Chuang. We are turning our attention to geopolitics. The U.S. has signaled that a summit between the U.S. President Joe Biden and Chinese President Xi Jinping could materialize before the end of the year. And many see engagement at the highest level to be the only way for the two countries to find a path forward in the strategic competition dominating geopolitics that's been causing havoc in this region, really, for other countries like us, for example.
Yeah, relations between the Americans and the Chinese have been rocky, like the boxer in the last few years, with both sides clashing on issues ranging from trade and technology to human rights and the origins of COVID-19. Tensions are expected to escalate further as China pushes a record-breaking number of warplanes into Taiwan's air defense identification zone. So, of course, the question is, will we see a thawing in relations, or will it get cooler and cooler, like the Cold War that is brewing now?
That's right. So for some thoughts on this, we have on the line Dr. Pradeep Taneja, Senior Lecturer in Asian Studies from the University of Melbourne. Pradeep, good morning. Thanks, as always, for speaking with us. So we've seen the political tone and rhetoric in China, between the China and the U.S., cool in the past few months. Is that because each nation is dealing with their respective domestic issues, do you think?
You're right. I mean, there has been a change in rhetoric from both sides. I mean, there was an expectation when President Biden came to office that he might sort of soften America's approach to China. But we haven't seen any real softening, particularly on issues like human rights, Xinjiang or Hong Kong, or even China's more aggressive sort of posture in the South China Sea. But there certainly has been a difference in tone and language. And on the Chinese side, we have certainly seen over the last couple of months, particularly China's wolf warrior diplomats who had been very aggressive in the last couple of years, they also seem to have become a little more subdued. Perhaps I think it is partly because of a realization in Beijing that such an approach was counterproductive because China was becoming unpopular in many countries, even in countries where China otherwise had a fairly positive image. So the Pew Research Survey, for example, showed that the attitude towards China had turned negative in many countries around the world. So probably it's because of that realization also that Beijing's diplomats have been instructed to be a little more tamer.
Yeah, so what I get from your reply, Prof, is that you see a warming in relations, relatively speaking, but then we've also seen the AUKUS defense pact come up in recent months, and of course, we've also seen that China has made noises about potentially joining the TPP. What do you think about those two developments?
I think that China had earlier indicated that it might be interested in joining the new version of TPP, the CPTPP. And, of course, United States has withdrawn under the Trump administration. U.S. withdrew from TPP. And even under President Biden, there is no indication that the U.S. is likely to join TPP anytime soon. So I think China is taking an advantage of that. China also wants to send a signal to the rest of the world that China is pro-globalization. China, in fact, is a country which believes in free markets, and therefore by being a part of the RCEP, you know, another Asia-Pacific free trade area, and also now applying to TPP, China is sending a signal that China is, in fact, in favor of free markets and international trade. But the reality is that the United States, started the TPP negotiations along with other member countries under the Obama administration to, essentially create a free trade agreement which will keep China out. So it was part of the Obama administration policy of pivot to Asia. But things change under the Trump administration. And now I think the Chinese government is trying to indicate that it is open, it is willing to, trade with the rest of the world, that its policies haven't changed any significantly.
Yeah. Yeah. So how do the 13 member nations of ASEAN, including Australia and New Zealand as well, potentially, look towards these tensions between the Americans and the Chinese in the region? Should we be fearful or should we be excited?
Well, the 10 member ASEAN countries have a kind of mixed reaction. On the whole, I think ASEAN country leaders were taken by surprise by the AUKUS agreement you referred to earlier, between the United States, UK, and Australia. They felt that they had not been taken into confidence. But I think overall, when you look at the attitude of countries like Indonesia, which is, of course, the largest country in ASEAN, Indonesia, I think, judging by the commentary by Indonesian strategic affairs expert, they understand the motivations for the AUKUS pact. And I think overall, they see Australia's role, an enhanced role by the Australian Navy in the region to be a more positive thing. Of course, there are worries about the growing tensions between China and the United States. ASEAN countries generally don't want to have to choose between the United States and China, and therefore they would do anything to avoid a situation where there's a conflict between the United States and China, and they have to choose between the two.
Pradeep, looking to what we mentioned earlier, there's a planned virtual summit between the U.S. and China that could take place at the end of the year. I mean, what do you think of this? What do you think will be on the agenda, and how high should our expectations be, or should we just keep them low-key?
Yeah, I mean, this week, the Chinese and American senior diplomats, the American National Security Advisor, Jake Sullivan, and on the Chinese side, the Politburo member, Yan Jiechi, they met in Zurich, and the meeting, went on for 6 hours, which is quite a positive mood. And both sides described the meeting to be constructive and positive, contrary to the meeting they had in Alaska, which was more of a shouting match. But in Zurich, it seems they've had constructive dialogue, and they've agreed that there would be a virtual meeting of the leaders of the two countries, before the end of the year. I think what's going to happen is that the President Biden and President Xi Jinping want to be able to have a relationship, a working relationship, which is in their mutual interest and also in solving some of the global challenges. So I think one of the challenges that the two leaders are going to face is the way they define the bilateral relationship between China and the United States. President Biden is continuing to define the U.S.-China relationship as competitive, that competition defines the bilateral relationship. China, on the other hand, as Yang Jiechi indicated in Zurich, China is opposed to defining the bilateral relationship in competitive terms. China would like this relationship to be portrayed more as a win-win relationship rather than a competitive relationship. So I think this meeting between President Biden and President Xi Jinping before the end of this year should kind of focus on some of the major issues that divide these two countries, but also look at the issues or areas where they can actually cooperate.
Yep. So in terms of both Xi Jinping and President Biden, they've got this so-called Taiwan agreement. Of course, Taiwan has been in the crosshairs recently. We've seen mounting incursions into Taiwanese airspace from Chinese jet fighters. How should the world view what happened to Taiwan in the next 5 to 10 years?
Well, Taiwan issue obviously is probably the greatest worries in the region. People talk about the flashpoints in the Asia-Pacific region. Taiwan perhaps is the hottest of the flashpoints. But problem is that China is unwilling to talk about Taiwan with the United States or other countries for that matter, because China says that this is an internal affair of China, that no other party should interfere. Even in Zurich, Yang Jiechi told Jake Sullivan that Hong Kong, Taiwan, Xinjiang, human rights, these are all China's internal issues, and United States should refrain from interfering in these issues. So this is a problem. But on the U.S. side, of course, United States has this Taiwan Relations Act, and there is an obligation to provide support to Taiwan to be able to defend itself, sufficient support to defend itself. United States is continuing to sell weapons to Taiwan, which, of course, annoys China. But I think if China is to continue to bully Taiwan the way it has been doing, it is going to change public perceptions. For example, this week we saw the former prime minister of Australia, Tony Abbott, visit Taiwan and meet with President Tsai Ing-wen. Now, which is very unusual because usually former prime ministers of Australia don't visit Taiwan. We also saw a delegation of French senators visit Taipei. So if China continues to harass Taiwan in this manner, I think international opinion is going to change more in favor of Taiwan. It doesn't mean that other countries are going to begin to recognize Taiwan diplomatically, but I think public opinion will persuade leaders in other democratic countries to adopt a more accommodating attitude toward Taiwan.
Pradeep, thanks very much for your time this morning. That was Dr. Pradeep Taneja from the University of Melbourne talking to us about U.S.-China relations and also what Taiwan, the challenge of Taiwan, how what that poses between the two major countries.
Yeah, one thing that really jumped out at me from the good Dr. Taneja's reply was the profoundness of the clash of civilizations between the Americans and Chinese, right? Because the American system is predicated on basically winner takes all, loser loses, right? Therefore, you get this wealth divide that the Chinese want a mutual benefit where nobody loses, everybody benefits. And this is the whole common prosperity theme. For the Americans and the Chinese to come together, there's got to be a breakdown of both systems into some compromise. I'm not sure whether that's going to happen or not.
Stay tuned. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.